This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Today and tomorrow, we're going to be speaking with the two chairs of the two major political parties in Massachusetts. Tomorrow, we're looking forward to speaking with Kirsten Hughes. She's the chair of the Massachusetts Republican Party. Today, we're joined by the new state party chairman for the Democrats, Gus Bickford. He's a longtime Democratic operative, having worked on the campaigns of John Kerry, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Warren, Martha Coakley, and many others. Gus Bickford, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
I first actually wanted to start off by asking you sort of a national level question here, because I was reading an op-ed in the New York Times today written by Dahlia Lithwick. And she was asking, quote, this is a quote from the Times, "If you've been asking yourself, where are the Democrats? You're not alone. Since the election, top Democrats have been almost absent on the national stage. Rather, they've been involved largely in internecine warfare about how much to work with Mr. Trump." Do you think that's a fair criticism of the Democrats right now?
I read the same article. No, I don't. I think that there was actually a great number of us. She actually says, where were we in 2000 for the recount? My wife took time off for her job, was in Florida for 57 days. I was down there for a good 10 days on our own time. And there was a tremendous amount of Democrats from across the country that participated in that recount. And I think that you're seeing the same type of activity right now, and people speaking up against the nominees, people helping as volunteer lawyers for the recounts and funding many of the recounts. And so I know the Democratic Party may not have a national voice just frankly, because we are in the process of electing a national chair. That being said, Elizabeth Warren couldn't be more out front and a stronger voice than many other people. And, you know, I think that you've seen our congressional delegation stand up. So, no, there are Democrats there. And a lot of times people forget that they are the Democrats and voices of the party. And I think here in Massachusetts, I've been in meetings for the last 14 days where people are really looking for and doing terrific work.
Okay, so I want to talk with you about the state level in just a minute here, but in the immediate aftermath of the presidential election, there was, of course, this spasm of questioning amongst Democrats. It's still going on about, you know, what should the next step be for the party? How could the party have missed so many key voters who ended up voting for Donald Trump? Does the party need new leadership? And they had the opportunity in the House to elect a new minority leader, but the Democrats in the congressional level ended up staying with Nancy Pelosi. Was that the right choice?
The answer is yeah. More than two-thirds of the House members chose. You know, I wasn't part of that. More than two-thirds of our membership here in Massachusetts chose Nancy Pelosi. I think that we've got great diversity in our party. I think that we need to, and we are recognizing that we need to deliver our message better and in a different way. And I don't think that we didn't hear that message. And I think, the leaders in our party quite clearly are pushing us to do just that, make sure that we deliver it at a local level and we speak in, frankly, the messages that people can understand and see what makes a difference at a local level. Mm.
So do you think there's an opportunity here for Massachusetts Democrats, the congressional delegation, to, you know, sort of carve out a new leadership position even while in the minority?
Very much so. I mean, I think that one of the unique things that we have specifically here in Massachusetts is we've had a governor that says, let's wait and see. Well, I think we've waited and seen long enough. And so we're going to have, you know, our congressional delegation, our state delegation, many of leaders like me talking about how can we have a nominee who for the Department of Energy who wants to, frankly, do away with it. When we were trying to close the Pilgrim Power Plant in 2019, who is going to take care of those fuel rods? Our congressional delegation will be out front on that and will position the governor and many other Republican leaders on a national level to say, wait, you have to stand up and do what's safe for the citizens of Massachusetts and safe for the citizens of this country.
Mm. Now, I definitely do not want to at all downplay the seismic effects of this presidential election. I mean, it's a historic one. Even in a place like Massachusetts, which, you know, overall, two-thirds of the voters here voted for Hillary Clinton, but that means a solid third of folks who cast a vote here in Massachusetts voted for Donald Trump. I mean, is that not also a wake-up call for you as the party head here in Massachusetts?
It's a wake-up call for the towns that voted in favor of Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton. But I will go back to some of the strongest leaders that we've had here in Massachusetts, Ted Kennedy. It was rare that he would win with 80%. He wouldn't. We would always have a 33, a 37, a 44, a 46% that would, you know, vote against some of the strongest people, by the way, who would work across aisles and really do what was good for the people of this country and here in Massachusetts. So, yes, it's a wake-up call, and we need to look, frankly, at the communities where Donald Trump won and some of the areas where, you know, we have been not winning votes on a statewide level, because we're going to need those people to understand, frankly, our message and why it will be better to have a Democrat in the corner office in 2019 for the 2018 election. And so we'll be focused on that, and we know that we need to do that.
So how are you going to do that? Because I'm curious about that. Even here in, you know, at the state level, you look at Massachusetts, and it's always held up as like the bluest of blue in the United States. How are you going to, you know, why did your messaging not reach those voters this time around? I mean, there's a good part of the middle of the state where that's the case.
I'm just going to push back a teeny bit on that, because we did. I mean, we won with Hillary Clinton, but the governor, so let's just talk about the governor in the corner office, was out front, put his name and his face, his reputation on, frankly, the question two, which is how we would restructure the formulary for funding charter schools and education.
Well, it would lift the cap on charter schools.
Correct, and the funding of it. And specifically what we did in that case is we delivered the message at a very local level so that people in each community want to understand it would make a difference in their community. So we had 237 school committees across the state who said this isn't a good thing. But more importantly, there are 351 communities. 333 of those 351 communities voted against question two. That's not close. That's a shellacking, and the governor and his people outspent us by $10 million. So we need to do the same thing and point out the differences that we have with the governor. We do want him to work together with the legislator, and we want our legislative leaders to work with him. But frankly, we also want to point out why it would be better for them to have a Democrat in the corner office after 2018.
So, okay, so education is one thing. It's a complicated one, though, because, I mean, President Obama, obviously former Secretary of Education Arne Duncan, there are many prominent Democrats who actually support the idea of charter schools quite enthusiastically. So it's not necessarily a Republican versus Democratic thing.
No, but
here,
question two wasn't about whether you're in favor of charter schools or not. It was about, again, it was more complicated than that. It was about the funding and lifting of the cap. And because we do use charter schools, but we also have other magnet schools that are just as good. So I was pointing out that we delivered a good and quality message here in Massachusetts in 2016 for question two. But moving forward, we need to point out that the governor is the CEO of the state. Okay, we need someone to stand up, frankly, against the nominees for EPA, because we've got clean water. Okay, we've got to worry about what's going to happen with Jeff Sessions, who's got some serious, significant civil rights positions that, you know, he's going to be our AG. When it comes to, you know, right now with ExxonMobil head being proposed for our Secretary of State, when you look at some of the things that ExxonMobil has done on an international level and, frankly, governments that they've bribed and taken over, and that's my position, you know, it worries me. And so the governor needs to, frankly, be out front and say, as a CEO of the state, this is not at the state level. This is not good for us. We have our national leader, our federal leaders in Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey doing that. We need, you know, our governor to take a position, because he is a voice for us. And so far, he's just said, wait and see. That's not good enough.
Okay, so I can see where the thrust of your energies are and where they're going to be in the next year. You're looking at the governor's office here for the state Democratic Party. But I mean, to be perfectly honest, even if Charlie Baker today came out and said all of these things, am I right in saying that I don't think that would satisfy you as the chair of the state Democratic Party?
It would be a step in the right direction. I mean, one of the biggest differences that he will have in 2018 compared to when he ran in 2014 was that he's going to have a record to run on. So, you know, we're going to be able to talk about, frankly, him returning, you know, his stewardship, frankly, of the commuter rail system. And basically one of the things that, you know, frustrates many people who take the commuter rail is basically the lack of service, the canceled trains. Why are we shipping trains out of state to be fixed? Why can't we fix them here in Massachusetts? And frankly, he's had long enough to deal with this, and it looks as though he has not been able to be a good, you know, the buck stops here, take management into consideration and make it work.
Well,
for
perhaps
him.
On those things, but he's done a good job on opioids. He's been quite,
well,
quite
just
vocal.
90 and, cuts. Let's look at the back end of
that. He had a bill, too. I mean.
Yeah, but so in this past, you know, basically what just happened with the 90 cuts is he cut many of the programs that, you know, are important. He'd cut monies for Gloucester. He cut monies for other new programs and officers that were to be put in place to help on the opioid crisis. They no longer stand. And so, you know, that's good rhetoric, but we've got to see what happens behind the scenes. He actually, one of the things that, you know, has happened twice is he's taken tough moves, and then he's run away and not defended them. And so, you know, we'd like it to see him stand here and say why it's important, you know, at this cycle to make those moves.
So I can anticipate that we'll be hearing a lot more from the Democratic Party about Governor Baker in the weeks and months and the years to come. But let me ask you, if right now someone said to you, Gus Bickford, make the case for me why we should have a Democrat back in the governor's office and once again have an all-Democratic state-level government. Because, you know, it turns out, I think that Massachusetts, in a way, ironically, has made some of its greatest strides forward with opposing parties controlling the governor's office versus Beacon Hill.
Well, I mean, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that we're going to be faced with. We're going to be faced with possibly the national health care system being dismantled. We're going to be faced with transportation projects being cut. It would be important for us to have someone who is, frankly, in a position to be advocating on our behalf so that we don't lose those federal monies and standing, you know, basically so that our bridges, our train systems, our highways are maintained and kept. And frankly, we need, you know, we have had strong leaders in the past that has done that. And right now we seem to have a governor that is much more in favor of just looking for some private person to take over who is not accountable to the public. And I don't think that I'd like government working for us. I like to be able to point to someone and say, okay, that's the person to complain to other than Keolis, which, you know, a famous, you know, who is it that you complain to when they're in charge of something? The only person that I can think of is the governor.
And he'll hear your complaints, maybe. Well, Gus Bickford, thank you so much for coming in. I look forward to many more such vigorous conversations with
you
as time goes by.
Thank you for having me.
Gus Bickford is the newly elected chairman of the Massachusetts Democratic Party. Tomorrow we'll be speaking with the chair of the Massachusetts Republican Party, Kirsten Hughes. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.